Tonight, we're going to bring your attention, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah chapter number 17. And hope you don't mind me keeping my suit coat off. It's a little warm. I'm sorry, 18. Jeremiah 18. I forgot I had marked it in the wrong spot there. Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to read a few verses. We'll get right into this. Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." And he goes on to, let's just read it. It's a couple more verses here. Verse 7, "At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it? If ye do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." Now, verses 7 through 10 show us that, and you know the book of Jeremiah, it is written to Israel, okay? But I understand that, but we can also draw a lot of good things from the Old Testament. There were a lot of things that were directed just for Israel at that time, but God preserved his word for a reason, for you and me. So we can take these things and we can apply them to our own life and evaluate our own life. And I really believe God tonight can give us some direction here. And tonight I just want to talk about this simple phrase. As concerning this potter and the clay. Tonight's message is simply this: stay on the potter's wheel. Stay on the potter's wheel. And hopefully we'll understand more about that here in just a couple minutes. All right, let's have a word of prayer and get right into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you for each and every person who is willing to come out, Lord, even in this heat, Lord, to just to be able to hear your word. Lord, we try to do our best to lift you up in song and to praise you and make you look good. We pray now that you would just take over this place, fill it up with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would empty me of self, Lord. My mind races so much, and I pray, Lord, just help me to get focused. God, I pray you'd use this message to speak to my heart, but also every other person here. And may it be a blessing to us and help us to see how you look at us and view us, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. All right, real quick, we find here what is going on in Jeremiah. Israel, obviously, has turned their back on God. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. I mean, he's one of those guys who for years and years and years had preached the gospel, had preached to Israel. I mean, he was a prophet from God, a messenger from God, trying to get Israel to see they need to turn from their pagan ways. They need to quit going the wrong way. They quit worshiping the false gods, bringing in the world system into the church, so to speak. Well, obviously, there wasn't a church there yet. But just bringing that kind of thought process and mentality into their life. And so God now, he's over and over a patient God. If you, and I've heard this said, and I know you guys have probably heard it said too, there's been people I've heard say that, man, God is so impatient in the Old Testament. He's so mean. Man, if you read the Old Testament, how many chances did he give them? I mean, just unbelievable amount of chances. That's the long suffering of God. And so we find here that now he's, and I love how even Jesus in the New Testament, he did pictures, and it just helps us kind of see and understand things in the Word of God a little better. I do good with drawing pictures. If you want them, if you could write a paragraph how to fix a part on a car. If you just show me a picture, I got it. That's just the way I am. So, all the guys are doing this. Yeah, we understand that, right? All right. So tonight we're looking at this chapter number 18. God has now come to the preacher, the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, "I want you to go down to the Potiphar's house. The guy who's going to he's making these pottery out of clay, and I want you to look and see what's going on." So Jeremiah, he obeys the word of the Lord. He goes down to the potter's house. He walks in, and he's looking around on the shelves, and I can't help but think what's going on right now. He probably looks over in the corner of the room, and we have the potter over there, and he's sitting down, and he's got a wheel that's spinning. And back in those days, they have all kinds of different gadgets. I've seen how they would make that wheel turn. But in the old days, they would have a big wheel on top with a shaft going down, then it would have a small wheel, and they would use their feet to turn it as they're forming that clay. And so they put a little water on top of it every now and then, and be forming that clay. And I can imagine Jeremiah walks in and he's looking around, and he's probably looking on the walls over here, and there's a whole bunch of real nice pottery up on the walls for display for the guy who's probably selling, you know, and that was a very big thing, still is in the Middle East a lot now. I still do that. And and he looks over here and he sees a bunch of new ones, but I can't help but think he looks over here now, and along this wall are all the ones that have been cast aside, have a chip in them, they have a defect, they have problems with them. And and just thinking in my mind, I'm thinking, man, how does he take that and be able to make it into something nice and new? And that's really the picture that God wanted Jeremiah to bring to the nation of Israel. They had gone away astray from God. And what God's trying to say here is simply this, is that if you'll allow me to, I can take your life and get all the marred up parts of your life put back together. And I want to make something of you. I want to use you for my honor and for my glory. That's what God wants of you and me. And that same application is still relevant today. You and me, sometimes we get to a place where we get so discouraged. We look at our past. We look at and we say, God, I've got too much baggage. I've got too many things I've done wrong. There's no way you can use me. I'm just going to show up every now and then at church. I'm just going to kind of go through the motions, but I really don't believe you can ever use me. And it's really a sad thing, because it doesn't have to be that way. God has a specific plan for each and every person in here. Every person in here, he has a specific plan for your life to be used by him. And but that only happens if you're in the center of the wheel. See, what do you mean, the center of the wheel? What are you talking about? Well, we like to go to Branson. We try to go there. We go down to Southern Missouri once a year. Her side of the family, my wife's side of the family, Shelley's, they have a house that's off of Table Rock. So we don't have to pay costs for that. We just got to pay food and fuel. Amen. So that's a good deal. We'll go down there and it's a little old house, but we'll cram in there and it's free and stay. And we have a blast. We'll go swimming during the day and just do whatever. We're about 45 minutes from Branson, though. And every now and then, we've got to go a couple different times. This year, we're trying to plan to go again just to Silver Dollar City. And if you've ever been there, I love it. I love that type, that thing. I like the rides. I like to go fast. I like all that stuff. I'm still a kid at heart. And so we're looking forward to doing that, Lord willing. In September, we're going to go back down. I remember it's probably the first time I went. I remember they have a lot of different metal workers. At the old way, they used to treat metal and like build an axe head and all that. They have guys down there they'll be doing that right in front of you to show you how the old ways that they were able to do that. They have guys who will take an axe and hollow out a big tree. I mean, they'll have this big old stump there, and he'll be hollowing it out, chopping it out, using an axe, and they'll use it for different things, you know. But I remember one time we went there, and there was a potter, and he was sitting down, and he's got clay, and he's putting water over it, and he's forming that into a vessel that can be used to hold water or whatever else. And I remember watching him, and the first thing he did, he took some old, just a look like a clump of clay, just a nasty looking thing, and threw it down in the center of that wheel. And I wish I would have went up to him and asked him a bunch of questions now, because I'm preaching this, and I always want to know details now. But if I see him there again, I'm going to ask him. But just watching, observing, there's a reason why he threw that down, and he threw it right dead center in the middle of that wheel. And as he did that, I started noticing as he got the wheel spinning, he took his feet and was spinning that thing. That wheel's going faster and faster. He's putting a little water on it. He's forming it with his hands. I noticed that he kept it. There was like a little outline where he would keep it all. It had to be inside this little ring. In doing that, it was a center of gravity. There's no pull of gravity right in the very middle. If it got outside of that, it would start, the pieces would start flying off. They would start pulling it to the side. And it started gaining my curiosity thinking about that. And then I heard a message just recently, not too long ago, from a preacher that kind of preached about this, gave some details, and it was exactly what I had seen. And so when the master would keep that inside of there, the gravity would not pull it and throw pieces out, wouldn't mess it up, it wouldn't deform it, when it was right in the center of the wheel. Now, comparing that with us and our lives, we must do this. We have to do this, is we have to make sure that we are in the center of God's will if we're going to see things change in our life. We have to be in the center of His, you could say wheel or will, but either one, so to speak. You get the visual tonight. You know what I'm saying. You got to be in the center. Why? Why should we be in the center of God's will, Brother Jim? Well, when you get outside of God's will, the things of this world will pull you away. God can't, He can't form you the way He wants to. He can't adjust things in your life. He'll see defects. He'll see the marred parts of your life that are hanging out and that are messed up. But He can't fix them if you're not in the center of His will. If you're not in the center of His wheel, so to speak. And as God tries to form us and wants to shape us in the way He wants us to be, we have to make sure that we're going to stay in the center. We can't allow things to pull us away. What would be some things to pull us away? Well, if we're not careful, the busyness of life can pull us away from God, the center of God's will. Just being busy. We, as Americans, we got all these things that are supposed to make our life easier and faster, and we are so busy. We're more busy than we've ever been. And just recently, we had a Baptist historian, Ted Alexander's his name. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Amazing memory on history of the Baptist heritage and all that. But he came and I've totally forgot where I'm going with this. Praise the Lord. It's what happens when you turn the curve after 35, I guess. You start going back downhill. But anyway, we're going to move on because I don't have no clue. If it comes back, I'll jump right into it. Amen. But we must continue to make sure that we're in the center of God's will. If we get out of the center of God's will, we're not going to be able to be formed the way God would have us to be. And so what he's saying here, now think about this. Jeremiah walks in, he sees the potter, he sees the clay, he sees him how he's shaping this, and he's getting a picture of what he's supposed to tell Israel. And he goes on to say here that in verse number 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. This is the best part of it. So he made it again another vessel. After God, let me say it like this. Being formed to the image of Christ is what God wants us to be. The image of His Son. That's what He wants to shape us to be more like Jesus Christ. But with that, it's going to hurt. there are things, and there are issues in life that God has to bring us through that are painful, right? I've heard of, and when I was hearing this preacher talk about this, he said there are times there are clumps, and there are, when he first throws that clay on that wheel, there are big chunks that are hanging out, there are big clods that are real hard, and they have to take it and beat it over and over and over to get it all broke up, to make it smooth to where they can form it. And isn't that the way our lives have to be sometimes? There are some things in your life and in mine that God wants to adjust, but if we will stay in the center of His will, God will be able to get those beat out of us, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, this is what happens. They get in the center of God's will, and then the heat comes on them, or the problems seem like they're pressing on. And really what it is God's trying to adjust your life to be more conformed to the image of His Son. So He's going to have to knock out some of the hard places in your life. And it hurts sometimes, right? I mean, doesn't it hurt when things happen in your life and you're saying, God, how come you're allowing this to happen? God, why are you allowing the struggles in this financial problems that we have, or marital problems, or job problems? And God, I'm just trying to be faithful to you. How come you keep letting this stuff happen? God's trying to form you to trust Him and to be more in the image of His likeness. And so He's going to have to do a work in your life, and He's going to have to, so to speak, beat some things out of it. And it's not easy, and it's not something that's fun, but the end result is this, that you be more like Him. But after He does that, after they make that vessel, they would then take the vessel now, and now they take it and they bake it. They put it in kind of like an oven. I don't remember exactly what it's called. Kiln. Yeah, K-I. I just read it. I was reading it the other day. That's right. And so they have to bake it together, right? They got to make it, what, hard. Got to harden it up so it doesn't fall apart, so it's not loose. And as they do that, the heat is turned up in their life. I'm talking about people now. After God had to work the bugs out of you and to get things, get you pliable, get you to a place where you are broken for Him, then He starts to reform you, and then you think, man, it's all over, and then He sticks you in the furnace, so to speak. Why? It's to better you, though. It's to draw out some things. It's to cure you. It's to make you better for Him. And when you're going through the heat, don't get bitter at God. Don't get bitter at God. That's one of the hardest things that there is. I understand that. There's times that we've gone through things. I'm thinking, man, Lord, what in the world do you have us going through this for? God had a plan. He grew me through it. I work at a, like I said earlier this morning, I work at a car battery place. I make batteries. And one of the processes is as we're making these batteries, we deal with lead. Now, it's not just pure lead. There's tin and all kinds of different metals in it to hold it and make it firm. But we deal with lead every day. And we got 1,000-degree lead pots all around the place. And we're always, bringing this lead up to 1,000 degrees. And when we do that, it gets all those impurities out. And they'll come to the top, and they'll be caught, what they call dross. And then we'll take it every now and then, about every 2 or 3 hours. You got to take this screening thing, process, and you screen off. You scrape off the top dross, throw it away, and it gets so clean and so pure of all the impurities. It's almost like an image, like a glass image. It reflects. Now think about this for a minute. As God puts you and me through the heat and gets all the impurities out of us, when we look and we look at our life, then we can look more like Christ. When Christ looks at us, and we'll reflect Him instead of reflecting all the dross in our life. That's really what God wants for you and me. And tonight, you say, I'm going through the heat, Brother Jim. I'm going through the process right now. I don't like it. It hurts. But this is, look at verse number 6, and we're going to wrap this up. He says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Now, I know, understand he's talking to Israel. We could go to the New Testament, though, and see the same instruction that he has for you and me. If we're in here tonight and we're God's child, we're his children, God wants, desires to have a relationship with you and me. We've got to learn to trust Him. It's hard to trust, isn't it? I mean, for some people it's harder than others. But when somebody does you wrong, it's hard to trust them. It takes some time to trust them again. With God, He's never done us wrong. He's never one time done you wrong. Now, it might feel like it, and you might think, you know what? God gave me the raw end of the deal on this thing. God's perfect. He never messes up. That's a big pill to swallow, but if we will determine in our mind that God never is wrong, and the only thing that could be wrong is us, then we realize that He has the best intentions for you and me. And He tells Israel here, He says, just like you get the picture of this potter in the clay who can take a messed up piece of pottery, maybe melt it back down, take it, reform it, remake it, beat all the stuff out, put it back in the kiln, and then have another vessel that's made for good use. God wants that for you and me. Let me get just right down on all of our levels tonight. I grew up, I'm going to give you my testimony real quick and I'll be done. I grew up in a Christian home. I had a mom and dad who's still faithful to God. I'm so thankful for that. I don't regret that a bit. I have one brother. We were in church, whether you were sick or not. I mean, literally had to be thrown up or you were going. I mean, I love that now. They taught me that way. I mean, you don't just say, oh, I'm not feeling good. That didn't mean anything. Say, get in the car, hurry up. You know, that's just the way my dad was, and I thank him for it now. But as we were raised in church, I went through the motions. I did. I just went through the motions. I carried my Bible. I had the tie. You know, I went to the Christian school for a while, and I did all of these and thous, and I knew verses, and I could. But deep down, my heart was rebellious as could be. I mean, rebellious. And finally, and I don't share this a lot, but I feel like I need to tonight. When I was 14, I take the first drink of liquor when I was 14. And I don't say that with any pride. That's the dumbest thing I did, because later on I got hooked on it. And I remember at the age, I was getting in a lot of trouble from 14 to 17. At 17, I finally had another fight with my dad. I said, you know what? I'm done with this. I ain't living under these rules. I'm going. And so I remember moving out, and it's like a bonehead. I move out, and I'm living in my truck. Okay? I had my freedom. And it was wintertime. And I remember sleeping in my truck in the middle of winter, freezing my tail off. I'd started up for a while, fall asleep, wake up an hour later. I'm like, oh, I'm running out of fuel. I got to shut it off. Go back to sleep, wake up like a block of ice, you know. I did that for a few days, and my dad, finally gives me a call. He says, you know what, I know you don't want to be here, but at least pull in the driveway and sleep in the driveway so we know where you're at. So this is how bad it was. I was so bullheaded, that's what I did. I slept in the driveway. 20 yards away, I had a nice warm bed, but I chose the driveway. That's how stubborn, you know, I was. And so I'm thinking, I'm not giving in. I'm going to do what I want. Well, time went by, got in trouble, got arrested a few times for some dumb things, and the Lord got a hold of my heart. He started using someone who was Shelley. I met her, and I was 18 at the time. I'll just put it that way. And so we got engaged real quick, got married. 19 years old, started having children, and I remember I was 20 years old when I got saved. I gave my life to Christ. So you say, what are you trying to say? God had to, even though I was not saved, but the Lord had to break me in some ways. He had to humble me to get me to a point just to receive His Son, Jesus Christ. I wasn't even saved, but He loved me that much to break me. Put me so low that there was nowhere to look but up. And we got saved, and then you know, as you can tell, we had children year after year for a while, and God blessed there. But this is what I'm trying to get at, is the Lord had to bring me to such a low to get me to look up. All I had to do was just turn to Him by faith and trust Him. I wouldn't have had to go through all that problems. And even since then, there are times in our lives where we go through things, and the reality of life is, this is the reality, that we do things in life that we can't take back. I got things that I've done that I cannot change, and that I've hurt people. I can never make it totally right. It don't matter what I do, it's never going to make it perfectly right. But this is what I can do. I can allow God to take what is left, put me on the wheel of His will, and be in the center of His will, knowing this is what He wants me to do, and just follow Him from then on. And He can take and mend those holes, the things that we've done wrong in our, that are in our vessel, so to speak, that He's got us on the wheel. What does He want from you and me? He just simply wants us to be willing to do it at whatever He wants. So my question to you tonight, it don't matter who you are, where you've been, where are you at with God tonight? Are you fighting God in an area of your life? Maybe it's more than one area, I don't know. Between you and God, it's not my business, but where are you at? How's things going on the home front? How's things going at work? How's things going with your spouse, with your friends, with your family? If everything is upside down or feels like it, there could be a problem where you're not in the center of God's will, doing what He wants. And maybe He's been speaking to you, and He has something He wants you to do, but you've told Him no. And every time you say no, it gets you off the center of the wheel, and it's pulling you away from Him. And you find different pieces of your life flying away, and you can't get them back. God will mend and fix things, but there are some things in our life that we'll have to have a scar here and there for the rest of our earthly life. Why have another scar? Why in the world would we have a choice tonight to say, okay, God, whatever You want me to do, wherever You want me to go, however You want me to do it, You tell me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be faithful to come to church. I'm going to be faithful to help the pastor. I want to be faithful to witness, tell people about the gospel. I want to get totally all in to the deepest end of the pool. I want to be all in from now on. If you'll make up your mind, I promise you, I would not waste my time being here. I mean this with everything in me. I would go back to my job and never, ever go to another church if I didn't believe this was 100% true. I've seen it over and over, not only in my life, but other people, when they give it all up to God, and say, God, I'm going to stay right in the center of Your will. God does miracles. And they don't have to have the scars and the horrible past continue to keep happening if they'll just surrender to Him. You say, well, what's God's will for my life? Well, first off, if you're doing what you know right now from His Word, that's His will for your life. Whatever you know right now that you've heard preached here, taught, and you've read, we have God's Word right here. All you have to do is read it and say, okay, God, You tell me to go witness, I'm going to do it. You tell me to go clean up this part of my life, I'm not supposed to look at that liquor, I'm not supposed to go over here, I'm going to quit hanging around those kind of people. Not that I'm better than them, you just don't want me to hang around them. They'll influence me and pull me back in. You got to do it. And so when you do that, though, you get victory. You get a little stronger. Your joy comes back. You get excited about the things of God. The more we do that, the more God can work in our life. Tonight, that's really what the message is about. Are you willing to stay in the center of God's wheel or will? If you are, no telling what God can do. I mean, He can do unbelievable things if you're willing to stay in His will. If you would, I'm going to have the kids come up and sing a song as for the invitation. If you want to stand with me, and we'll keep our heads bowed, eyes closed. We're just a time of reflecting on what God's done. Maybe in your life right now, you think, I can't, I can't go back and fix that. Why should I even try? You should try because God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for every sin that you and I have committed. Say, I don't know. I don't know if I should do that. Boy, I tell you, you'll have more victory than you've ever had in your life if you'll just give it all up tonight. Quit fighting and just surrender to God. They're going to sing this song. You do what God would have you to do.